sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
Hello, how are you?
Great.
Oh, you're talking to the audience. I thought you were hello, I'm John.
Welcome to the show. This week we are reviewing The Ugly Stepsister. As always, John would give us the plot in 5 words, and we refer to thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. John.
were you about to ask me for the 5 word summary?
Where's our quarter? Which quarter are we in? No, I was going to simply say, make sure you, John, specifically, are following us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or podcatcher of choice. What podcatcher of choice do you use, John?
Apple Podcasts.
Oh, okay. Why?
Apple podcast app on Apple phone, iPhone.
Okay.
iPodcast/Skeleton Boys pod. I don't know.
Yes. John, you have many talents.
Oh.
You can write music, play music. I think you can juggle.
I can also, little known fact, I can hear music.
Ah, yes. How could I forget? You can hear music too.
I can see music.
But would you say,
I can't necessarily read it.
But would you say your best gift is summing up movies in 5 words?
I would say so.
Great. John, give us the plot in 5 words.
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
4. The Ugly Sister by Emily. Coming in at number 3. You know, I have issues with pronouncing European names. It's one of my other many just talents.
Snobby Americans.
Emily Blickfeld.
Yeah, we're just,
yes, sure.
Poorly educated Americans. Like,
no, I can read Japanese names all day. Thank you, anime. No, just kidding. Coming in at number 3 for The Ugly Stepsister. Silkworms only make tulle.
Oh.
Sorry, it's a joke at the end. If any fabric aficionados or costumers, there's supposed to be a scene where, I'm not going to give it away, but a scene where silkworms are weaving silk. And then at the end of the movie, it's clearly just a fabric named tulle, which is like less than $1 per yard. It's like cheap, cheap, cheap fabric. It's kind of like gauze. Okay, coming in at number 2 for The Ugly Stepsister, girl squirms her ugly away.
Mm. Very true.
Mm. Pretty wormy. And coming in at number 1 for The Ugly Stepsister, 2000s health and beauty docu.
Ah, yes. Very good. The Ugly Stepsister,
you know what, fuck it. I'll ruin something real quick. One of them was going to be like, she's got worms, something like that.
She has worms. Yes. This is the directorial debut of Emily Bleichenfeld? Feld? Bleichenfeld? It's Norwegian. Very, very Norwegian. Yes. Subtitles galore.
If she wants to come on the pod and correct us, if you want to correct us, Emily Blackenfeld. You can say our names as Mexican as you want. We're gonna. That is the trade-off.
If the title is no giveaway of what this movie is, it's sort of a loose adaptation of Cinderella, the Cinderella story, but from the perspective of one of the ugly stepsisters.
Which I thought, am I tripping? I guess there's only ever been 2 ugly stepsisters, right? There was,
sure,
just the 2.
Yeah, that sounds correct. I'm not a Cinderella person. That checks. But yeah, I think there's always been 2 ugly stepsisters.
Yeah.
I believe also in the in the Grimm fairy tales, which, have you read any of those before?
When I was in college, I think I read a good chunk of them and I was like, oh, these are interesting. I don't remember any of them.
Right.
I remember the gist of some of them, like what the Hansel and Gretel kids do get eaten.
Famously, I think this one sort of has the stepsisters cut their feet off, right? They're like their toes and whatnot.
To fit the, yeah. So yeah, a lot of this movie was pretty like faithful to the Disney version of it and what happens. And then teetering into the Grimm side of it, right? The Grimm's brothers
take on them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And from what I have looked up, researched, and is that sort of the story has been kind of passed on for like forever. Like the first known story of Cinderella, quote unquote, as we know it now, is there was a slave girl who marries an Egyptian, a Greek slave girl who marries an Egyptian king. That's like the first version of Cinderella. And then it's sort of spawned on since, for decades or centuries now, that one tale.
Interesting.
Yeah, so.
Fascinating. I'm just kidding.
John, let's give me your first thoughts on the ugly stepsister. Ugly stepsister. Why am I having trouble saying that word?
I liked it. You know, compared to a lot of the other first time filmmakers we've been watching recently, to note, I could say, the skin graft one. What was that one called? Grafted. Yeah. I was like, Grafted. And, I will say Zelda Williams, Lisa Frankenstein. I wasn't particularly fond of either of those. And Lisa Frankenstein definitely had a higher budget. I don't know. I kind of feel like, no, I think both of them are pretty damn weak. And this one, I will say for a first time, like feature length director, Emily did a really fucking fantastic job.
I agree. I think it comes fully formed. Like,
yeah.
A lot of the movie is... I also did... Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, it could have been cut down, I will say. There's a lot of dead space. Like, I understand what it's trying to do, the whimsy of it, but it was like, it just kind of... should have heard it along a bit sometimes.
I appreciated it sort of... It was grounded at moments and also was very stylized. And it has a certain look to it that you recognize as sort of like this sort of 70s, almost 70s grounded movies, that period piece movies that were shot in the 70s. It kind of has that same kind of look and style to it. And
I was going to say, it also has like a very at moments 70s and 80s music video look to it.
Yeah. And I think part of her, from what I've researched, is partly a movie that was inspired by it is like porn movies of the time. The look, which kind of tracks. Yeah. That tracks. And there's a sort of camp.
We do see a couple of
privates.
Fake dongs. Yeah.
And
I was like, that's not real. That guy does not talk that, sorry.
Real judgy, Josh. Really judgy about the dong situation. But no, she was also, there's a Norwegian movie I think she took most inspiration from, called The Three Wishes of Cinderella. And she tried to create like a timeless, once upon a time feeling in the visual style, which is there, which is actually very, very true to it. And I agree with you on the my only kind of like bigger note of this movie that I didn't particularly like was that the pacing was very slow. Like, you could have trimmed to some of this movie.
Yeah.
It kind of just kind of meandered a little bit, and a tighter editing, I think, probably would have helped the movie, in my opinion. But overall, I really love this movie. I thought it was excellent. I thought it was a really good inversion of like the Cinderella story. I like that it's from one of the stepsisters' perspective. And she kind of, like I had mentioned about the Grimm story where they cut off their feet, it's sort of that idea expound, right? So she's dealing with, like, to make her more beautiful, the stepsisters, like the main protagonist, Elvira, she goes to these great lengths, like this really crude, like plastic surgeries or like this really old fashioned medicines with like tapeworms.
Fucking disgusting.
Yeah. And to quote unquote, make yourself more beautiful. And which I think is like, there's just very, there's a scene early on in this movie where she's like looking in the mirror. She's looking in the mirror and she's like naked or whatever. And she's like, not ugly. She's attractive. It's not the quote unquote contrast to that, who Agnes, who plays the quote unquote Cinderella in the story, and she's more of a skinny blonde
whore. No, I'm sorry.
More, you know, conventionally attractive, I guess, right? And I like that they kind of showed that delineation of it. And I really also thought it was that when the movie starts, I like that she kind of is like really innocent and just has like this fairy tale idea of romance with the prince.
Oh, yes. I was going to say something that I'm going to be a little, it's not right what I'm about to say, but it's like very nitpicky about our main actress who plays the ugly stepsister who's like transformation. I was like, did she gain like 15 pounds to lose it for this movie? Because it really did seem that way. Like, she made herself like bloated for the film. And then at the end, of course, she loses weight in a certain way. But then I was like, man, I mean, nothing to knock the process, but she's like kind of too muscular for what she's supposed to be at the end. But it's like just something I was paying attention to. I was just like, man, she's got like jacked arms, but like they're not supposed to be.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of like all of these. I kind of saw them more as like, that's possible. There's always instances where actors like lose, you know, they start one way and they lose weight or vice versa. Yeah.
But I guess in the grand scheme of things, I think if she did gain a certain amount of weight on purpose for the film, by the end of it, she lost it in the appropriate way.
Not through the tapeworm. No.
Which is very disappointing. Like,
yeah.
You're never going to be the next Danny Day-Lewis, Christian Bale.
Right. And I...
if you don't do stupid shit.
She is... It's so striking when we meet this character, right? Because she has really bad hair. She's like really big, overdone, like curly hair. And like a big bonnet or some shit in her hair and these really kind of like colored dresses to kind of show her to be kind of innocent and naive. So.
And like an interesting nose prosthetic, which looks real, looked really good.
Yeah. And yeah, that's something that happened early on. And the other sister, I think, has less to do in the movie, but there's like interesting turns with her, like what happens with her. But, because I think she's she's younger, right? Because she hasn't hit puberty yet is kind of something that happens in the movies. She has her first period.
Yeah. Which seems to be poignant, but that's another part of the movie, right, where you're like, I'm interested in this, but it doesn't seem to be like something that's going to get fleshed out. And it kind of didn't,
but there's subtle hints, I think, at the end that kind of spell out what's going on. If that makes, if I speak about it vaguely. But yeah, I mean, I really liked, so the beginning of the movie, the mom, Rebecca, comes with Elvira and Alma to marry Otto, and Agnes is his daughter, right? And then they get married, there's a wedding, and then the wedding night, it's a really awful scene where they're all eating and then Otto like flips cake at Elvira and everybody laughs at her.
Yeah, she just like kind of sits there, takes it, and then just starts laughing too. You know what? I don't know why I haven't said it yet. A big part of what makes this movie work is all the actors were fucking fantastic.
Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. All the acting was really good.
They knew what they were doing. And then what's her name? The main Elvira character. She was brilliant. Liam Myron.
Yeah. And I'm assuming all these are Norwegian actors. I'm very unfamiliar with most of their work.
Yeah.
All really good, though. And so basically, like, because Well, he drops dead at this dinner, right? After he flings the cake, he drops dead. And I like the little twist here that he's actually penniless. He doesn't actually have any money. And so Rebecca decides to, like, marry off one of her daughters, but elects Elvira first because she's actually hit puberty and Alma hasn't. So
that makes sense, yeah. So, and then she's been hiding it, right? Like, I don't think the younger stepsister wants anything to do with this.
Right.
Or I guess it would be her younger sister, not her younger stepsister.
She seems a little, like, disassociated with everything happening and stuff. So it becomes the mother's quest to kind of, like, make Elvira, quote-unquote, conventionally attractive. And that's where we get the sort of big first, like, plastic surgery where they break her nose, right? And this is
it's gross.
Awful with scene. The chisel yeah. is.
And she does a great job of that blood-curdling scream. I'm like, fucking hell. And, you know, you would think usually, I think it's more of how brave the filmmaker wants to be. Usually when that happens, you get the blood-curdling scream and then it cuts away to something else. And usually the scream keeps happening so you know that there was more torture. And in this, you get the blood-curdling scream for a long period of time. And then the doctor goes, okay, next one. Do it to I'm like, oh my God, dude. And then I was like, this is going to not continue, right? I don't have to like watch this whole thing.
Yeah, I love that it's like this really crude, over-the-top, like painful looking plastic surgeries and stuff that added to like the oh shit. I think even I had to like look away. I was like, oh, I really don't want to see her nose smashed into pieces.
There's several moments in this movie like that,
specifically,
right?
The eye implant or eyelid implants or whatever too were fucked up.
Oh, just eyelashes. They're just sewing on eyelashes, but sewing on eyelashes. Yeah. And it's like right before the procedure is going to happen because like she's voluntarily coming back to this guy to like keep getting the shit done, this young woman. And she's looking at the doctor and he's like, oh, can you help me, Rose? And the first nurse turns around and she's got beautiful eyelashes and beautiful eyes because they're all wearing masks for, you know, they're doing surgery. And then he gestures to the other nurse like, and you too. And then she's got like an eye that's clearly been poked out because of a botched procedure for the eyelashes. And she's like freaking out a little bit. And he's like, here, we've got new ways of numbing pain with these new cocoa leaves. And he like rubs the powder in her eyelids and then does a whole bump because it's cocaine.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, because she thinks she's, the mother thinks she's fat, she makes her eat a tapeworm to lose weight. And boy, does that pay off at the end. Holy shit.
No, well, the mother didn't even know about
that. Oh, no?
That was her voluntarily doing that by herself. Which was disgusting. Yeah. And then they have, like, a lot of the effects visually were pretty good. Like that tapeworm egg, you can see a little tail squirm in there when they're doing like a close up of it. And I was like, that's gross. And I like how it's presented in like a very nice little box. Like she bought it off somebody, probably that plastic surgeon dude. Yeah, gross stuff. And then she starts throwing up eggs.
Oh, well, we'll get there. We'll definitely get there. And like, I guess we're kind of like, this is kind of like Elvira. At this point, I kind of felt like sympathy for her. But I mean, at a certain point, she kind of resents Agnes. Well,
she betrays her. And I was like, oh, you deserve everything.
Yeah. It's kind of like, one of those where because she chose to follow along with her mother, she kind of becomes like the anti-hero of the story, you know? Like somebody who.
Like, yeah. She wanted this prince guy so fucking bad, which is funny because you get moments where she accidentally stumbles on the prince and is like two shitty buddies are killing whatever ducks or whatever. And he's got lines like he's trying to take a piss. He's like, oh my God, the skin's just coming off my cock. Like, ah, and they're like, you need to use butter. He's like, we're running out of butter in our stupid kingdom. So the prince is like clearly like, you know, got a bunch of diseases and is a gross guy. But she like immortalizes this
fantasy
perfect human being.
She wants the fantasy, right? And sort of playing with that idea that all women want this fantasy of Prince Charming, and they kind of just, I love that they ground that, and then like this guy's just probably just whatever, like a douchey rich guy, yeah, who just wants to get laid and have fun with his friends and doesn't give a shit about getting married or having kind of nobility. He's just like a dumb guy, which I thought that was a very poignant scene in the movie.
And it's also Agnes, our Cinderella character, has no interest in the prince, but is out of necessity forced to do it to get out of her family, right?
Right. Because they lie to her and say that they buried their dad, and she finds him slowly rotting in the room. Probably, I don't know what room, maybe the kitchen. Maybe they never took him anywhere, which I thought was, again, awful that they faked. So what did they bury? Why did they pay for that? Without burying him, would have made more sense just to bury him.
I don't know. I guess they couldn't afford to bury him. I guess. I think that's why they were trying to marry off as quickly as possible so they could afford to marry or bury him.
That's right. Yeah. Well, because they're basically broke, and so the mother's like, okay, well, I got to get my daughters out there so they can get married, so I can accustomed to living a certain way.
I will say my American brain was very taken back by there is a sex scene, right? That's where Elvira fucking calls out Agnes for sleeping with somebody else, and the whole idea was they're all virgins because Agnes is in love with the stable boy and stable boy is in love with her.
Right, yeah, and they have a very like 70s graphic sex scene.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's not like, oh my God, you're seeing like fucking legs spread and dongs
hair
fucking
and
peel back or whatever. Peel back. Scrotums collapsed. You know, classic sex scene stuff.
Please stop describing poor John.
Yeah. Gerbils with their tails tied together. You know, shit like that. Yeah. It's like gerbils don't have tails. And in my videos, they do.
my apologies. I didn't mean to kink shame you. My apologies, Chad.
Okay. No, but you get like it's just a shot of her backside for a long period of time, and then a close up of it, very 70s porno style. And I was like, oh my God, like, am I supposed to be watching this? Like, it was just like more graphic than we're used to in American movies. It was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And then like that's when like you see an erection and it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Is my special tab on my computer popping up in the screen right now? What's going on?
Throw away your laptop.
It's like, this one's full already. I just throw it away.
Yeah. And well, yeah. So that's the bet that happens. And Elvira like rats her out, and she becomes kind of like the maid, slave of the home, which is, again, you know, keeping in line with the Cinderella story, which kind of, like you said, I think, like, faithfully adapts the story. And, like, it starts very, like, in her perspective, and then it kind of just broadens out, and you kind of see more of the actual Cinderella story. Like, the story where we've known as the classic Disney movie, I would say. I think it's closer to that story than maybe other adaptations.
Yeah, I would say so too. Except there are no rats in this movie.
Right, there are other things, but yeah. But yeah, and I liked that the body, this movie was sort of labeled as a body horror movie, which I have mixed feelings with. I'm like hit and miss with body horror movie. I think I've become more comfortable with like body horror movies. Before, I couldn't watch or stand them, and I think I've mentioned that.
Are you now at a point where if it's like, okay, if it's a body horror movie, you better go all the way, because we've seen
right
the creme la creme Brian Yuzna's society.
Right, or like Videodrome, right? Like that's all crazy.
Yeah and The Substance, yeah, for sure.
No, that's true. The Substance too, that was a really good one too. I mean, so yeah, so I'm more comfortable, and I thought this was actually well done too. Like all of the plastic surgeries, the tapeworms, like Elvira's kind of transformation, because like in this whole promise to be more beautiful, she's like fucking getting thinner. She's like losing her hair. She's, you know, eating, but it's like the tapeworm's eating it, and it's kind of growing in size and stuff. And
I was also expecting for body horror. I thought there was going to be a disgusting shit scene.
there was another different kind of gross scene at the end, but
yeah, but it was, I was expecting worse. I was like, oh no, I was waiting for it to happen. I also thought it was going to happen at like an inopportune time, but it just kind of played out kind of in her favor. Most of it did, actually. So it's, yeah. In the grand scheme of things, the family's name has not been tainted. They just don't get anything.
And she also goes through kind of like some physical, mental abuse of Ira, right? Because she has to do that like finishing class too. And they're immediately like, oh, you're ugly. Like you can't, you know, you'll never be whatever, like can be taught how to do, you know, finish these whatever school that they're in or whatever beauty or whatever. So, and they kind of pick like other women and stuff. And I think it's interesting that like the instructor is very, very alluded to being a lesbian, right? Or gay.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, it seems like the mom definitely had to plow a lot of people to to get the daughter to where she's at, I think is what they're alluding to.
Right, yeah. Because she's, the mom is essentially the antagonist of the piece, right? She's kind of forcing her kids to do all this stuff and
which is also like it's kind of understandable, right? It's just like, she's like, we're fucking broke. We need to figure something out quick.
Right. But she's like she's going about it completely the wrong way. She's like basically like pimping and whoring out her daughters, which.
Yeah. And essentially doing the same thing to herself too.
Which is kind of what that era was like, right? Like a lot of women were just had to marry. They were kind of like pushed to marry into like rich families and stuff so they could continue their wealth.
Like, yeah. There wasn't, the idea of an educated woman was frowned upon.
Or, you know, they had to sell, but it's like sell and trade kind of thing back then.
Yeah. Or, and that's, I think, any women that had any sort of dowry or whatever, that's all they're basically bred to be, make families richer.
Right. Like, what can you do for me? Basically.
And why can't we go back to that? You know, make America great again.
Let's quickly move on from that. pause for edit point. Just kidding.
Do we lose listeners because I'm talking shit about
we're losing Donald Trump. Tens of listeners at once there.
Oh, shit.
Okay, cool. I think we're kind of in the middle to last act here. Do you want to maybe go into spoilers?
Yeah, let's do it.
Wait! No, stop, stop, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. So one thing that is spoiled is her stomach, because she fucking swallowed a tapeworm. And then this thing got massively out of control because she didn't kill it at the right time.
She left it in, right? She was supposed to use some sort of like vial or medicine or something to get it out. Yeah.
And then she threw up a bunch of eggs. So there, I mean, I guess she took the antidote, but there is a part at the end where she's fucking throwing up the thing. And her younger sister is like, where's the antidote? Because it really plays out like the younger sister is just very grounded and was like, I don't want any part of any of this
shit.
Did
you catch that? This is the thing I was alluding to. Did you catch that? She's like, when she has her first period, she like, it's like, tries to hide it. And it's like, kind of like, shot almost like a horrific thing for her. Because she knows now her mom can just start selling her off and stuff. And it's even, towards the end, she's even, when this scene's going on where she's like helping her sister, she's like wearing kind of maybe more like men's clothing. So it's almost hinted that maybe she's also gay or or, you know, tomboy.
I don't know about maybe tomboy. I don't know if it has anything really to do with her sexuality. I think she just doesn't want what her mom is forcing her sister
right,
to do.
Right, yeah. I just kind of took it as like, well, there's also maybe some commentary there, like that she's just different than she's not.
She's definitely smarter than the rest of the family, I think is what it's alluding
to. Right, yeah. Because she kind of doesn't have anything to do with anything. And she knows she has a free pass because she hasn't hit puberty. Because when she does, like, her mom can start, like, selling her off and pimping her out or whatever.
And I think that's the only reason why she doesn't hide that her dress has blood on it when she's helping her sister. Because it's right after her sister has the eyelash sewing on surgery.
Elvira is so, like, her mind is so twisted that she thinks these things, like, are somehow, like, it's just beauty is pain, right? Like, she has to go through these things to kind of,
because
she's unhappy with herself, and she tries to, like, be beautiful, conventionally, quote-unquote, beautiful, which is why she was so jealous of Agnes.
And I think Alma genuinely has love for her older sister, maybe not so much her mother.
Oh yeah, yeah. We'll talk about that last scene too. That's a kind of a wild scene. But then what is it like? There's that very crazy scene where you have that that gown maker who makes the gown for Elvira, but then like,
oh, Forrest kisses Agnes for whatever so fucking reason. Yeah.
And then, because she's quote unquote more beautiful or whatever. And yeah, I thought that was just awful. See, it's a disgusting scene. On par with about as gross as like all the body horror stuff. Anyways, yeah. So Agnes, so the ball's approaching. And so this is that crazy, crazy scene where like Agnes is crying on her father's rotting corpse and she gets the blue fairy, which is like her mom who had passed away. And then she has like
silkworms just kind of start crawling.
Are silkworms maggots?
No, those were definitely silkworms. They weren't maggots. Okay.
The ones that, because they do have these, they're very slowly or stitching together the gown, which I thought that was a great twist. Like that fact that they found a way to have, because I had that in the back of my head, like how are they going to do that scene with the fairy godmother and the animals make the dress? It was
very clever, yeah. which, you know, it took a really long time, which is probably why they settled on Tool, aside from not having a lot of money, I'll be honest. It's because, like, yeah, they were doing like a crosshatch thing and trying to fix her dress that had been destroyed by Elvira and her mom.
And I loved how clever this was, and I like that it's like a grounded approach, and I did not see that coming when they set up the dad being, you know, his corpse is like rotting, and then you have those like maggots, which are kind of established.
Maggots,
and
were, yeah.
When Agnes goes and cries to her body, like they turn into silkworms, and they're just sort of slowly making the dress for her and repairing the dress, and fixes it for her.
There is a part also where and I'm just going to mention this so I can say what I said out loud, which is me just being stupid. Elvira starts to, I think it's right after she pukes up the tapeworm eggs, she kind of looks around and sees like tapeworms coming out of everybody's mouths and ears and shit like that. Do you remember that scene? And I kept looking at everything like, these are earthworms though. Tapeworms are flat and they do this and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you're going to try to, you know, fake out a horror nerd on his worms? I was
John wears many hats on this show.
I know my worms.
Worms being amongst them. The worm guy. You're the worm.
Yeah, I got worms. Also, fantastic album by Vagaboys is called Street Worms. Is that what it's called?
And yeah, so they do the whole ball and everything, and like Elvira attracts the prince, kind of quickly kind of sum this up a little bit, but like attracts the prince, and then does the classic like thing where Agnes shows up, the prince is like smitten with her, she loses the slipper, and because she has to run away before midnight, All the while, we should probably establish that Rebecca is hitting on one of her friends, one of the prince's friends or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which will pay off later. And yeah, so like O'Hara's like, you know, horrified by that she was almost picked, right? So this, but wasn't. Yeah.
Classic, you know, the shoe fell off. And you get like a side by side comparison, which was also faithful to the Disney version, where her foot is like dramatically longer than what Agnes's foot is like compared to the shoe. And she has Agnes's other shoe, which is what I was thinking immediately, like, oh, she's not going to cut the toes off the wrong shoe, right? The wrong foot. And that's exactly what she does. And also, like, it's like, oh, cut off her toes. And I'm probably understanding for, like, effects reasons. But I was like, she needs to cut way below her toes, though. Like, her toes are, like, at the very pointy top of the shoe. Not even where the toes go in the shoe.
Cringy. Not cringy, like, in a bad way. But, like, one of those, like, eye-turning moments. She, like, tries to chop off her toes and doesn't do enough of a job of it and leaves them there. She can't do it. Which is also disgusting. But doesn't the mother come in and finish it? She's like, she can't even do it. And then the mother comes in, like, finishes it, and she passes out.
The mom's the one that points out, like, that's the wrong, oh, my dear, my love, like, that was the wrong foot. So she helps cut the other foot, and that's where Alma is like, fuck this. You can see her face like, no, this is fucking insane. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, the next morning, O'Hara hears, like, the trumpets and the prince arriving, and she tries to crawl on the floor, falls down the stairs, breaks her nose.
Her nose and her teeth. So, like, the things she's fixed. Because it starts off with her having braces, right?
And then, yeah, she and the other, she can't even walk, right? Like, so.
No. Which I think her face at that point is closely resembling the taller, right, stepsister in the cartoon. I think something like that, yeah. And then Alma goes in with the scene that you said pays off, where their mom is about to, like, just, you know, go down on the young friend of the prince. And Alma goes in and steals a bunch of fucking, like, gold and shit real quick and stares at her mom. And her mom is just, like, I think ashamed of herself and continues to do what she's going to do anyway, even though her daughter's staring at her. It was a different time. Different time in story fairy tale world. And then she, like, gets up, walks out, and then wheelbarrow style walks her sister down the steps by picking up her legs, and her sister's using her hands. And it almost seems like her sister is happy, actually, at the end, and while they're riding away. And then it's little shot of the crows eating the tapeworm fragments. Oh, which that was a gross scene. Like, the sister's trying to pull the tapeworm out of her throat. Like you see it, she's throwing up and it comes out. And she's pulling and pulling and she's like, oh, it's kind of stuck. And then she's able to dislodge and it's like a huge chunk of, like, large tapeworm is just pouring out of her throat. It's gross. Which is why I was waiting for something, because I think if anybody knows anything about tapeworms, historically, they don't come out that So I was, like, really waiting for it, bracing for it. I was like, this movie's been kind of gross so far, so I don't know if I'm ready for this, and luckily it did not.
Just needed a little injection of some fecal stuff. But, yeah, no, yeah, and then they kind of escape their mother, who is, like, yeah.
Gonna keep doing what she's gonna do, yeah. I guess, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
and that's the story.
The ugly stepsister. Yeah. So, do you have any other last thoughts before we rate the movie?
No. Just that I thought it stylistically was cool, and, you know, I think Emily had, you know, is an actual visionary of a director. I think, I don't want to be too rude about some of the other directors that I was talking about. And I'm trying to, like, I'm racking my brain for, I know we've seen a couple of other first time efforts, and it's always like, you meet a lot of people that are like, I really want to be a director. But then when you try to talk about certain things, they're like, oh, I don't know about that. I just want to, you know, want to be a director. I'm like, what does that mean to you? And I think Emily does understand what that means to her.
Right. She clearly took a lot of the inspirations and made a very effective movie for a debut. Pacing, I think, is the only thing I would probably like.
Pacing, but I will say it didn't seem like... good example, Grafted, felt like certain scenes, there was like so much attention and focus paid on. And then some of the other stuff was just like, I just shoot it real quick. And this one movie didn't feel like that. I felt like everything was equally as important.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I mean, no knock on the other filmmakers you had mentioned, because they could turn into, you know, as they make more movies or get the chance to make more movies, they become better craftspeople, right? And probably make better movies. Theoretically, you'd hope so. So, yeah.
It's like, you know, what's a good example? Like, Ben Stiller's a fantastic director now. Probably, I'd argue, one of the best that we have going right now. Just, you know. But the first movie he directed, like, who even knows what that is? Oh, it's Heavyweights, and it was fucking excellent.
Wasn't it Reality Bites?
That's it. Oh, it was Reality Bites, which was okay.
Did he make Heavyweights or just star in Heavyweights?
No, he directed it, didn't he?
Not sure. Did he? I'm just asking. I honestly don't know.
I'm gonna find out right now. Oh, it wasn't. It was Stephen Brill. Oh, he directed Cable Guy, though.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, that was good.
I think his directing,
yeah, it was really good.
You know, whatever, filmography is pretty solid. Like, it's not... It's all pretty good movies overall. I would say... What, like, Zoolander 2 and... what's that other one? The Life of Walter Mitty. I thought those movies sucked.
Oh, did he do Zoolander 2?
He directed that one? He directed the first one, so I'm assuming he directed the second one.
Yeah, the second one was bad. Oh, Tropic Thunder was great. First Zoolander was great.
But we're more talking about his, like, his work on Severance. His work on Severance has been great. And even the TV movie he did, Escape from whatever, some sort of prison movie, apparently that's actually really good too. So... I think that's on Netflix too. I haven't quite seen it, but it did get a lot of like heralded praise and stuff for it.
Let us know if you want us to review that for the next show.
Life of Walter Mitty?
Comment down below. Yeah, exactly. Greenberg or whatever the fuck that movie is called.
Alrighty. We should say, I don't think we've ever truly described our rating system to anybody, have we, John? What are sexy spooky bones?
They are penises. You're welcome. Moving on. All right. We're going to rate this. No.
Sexy spooky bones are our unscientific yet very, very sexy rating system that we have. So,
because there's nothing sexier than spooky
bones. 1 to 10. So, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
It's an orgy.
How many sexy spooky bones?
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give The Ugly Stepsister 7.5 sexy spooky bones.
I'm going to go 8. I liked it quite a bit more. I liked all the influences she took for this movie, and the things like I could watching the movie and seeing how the style and the direction of it, I thought was like, wow, I'm really into this movie. I know exactly what she's talking about or what she's communicating. So yeah. I was like zoned in on the movie. So I'll give it an 8.
Except for whatever made up language they used, right?
All right, guys, gals, not Mattery Browse. Thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky.